I wonder if I have an Audible subscription that I don't even know about. Hold on.
I don't think you have an Audible subscription.
I know you don't think I have one, but you would be surprised that sometimes I'm smart. I actually do. Wait. I mean, I could...
How could you be paying for Audible if you don't listen?
I logged in and then it said start my 30-day trial. So I guess I don't.
That's why.
But wait, can I listen to the... Hold on, membership. No, I do not have it. Fine. I just wanted to see the channels. Whatever. I could start a subscription with the hope that I would start listening to books.
Really?
Ouch, that hurt me. Ouch. Man, that was so dubious. That's like the most dubious and sarcastic you've ever been. You're like, really?
Well, see, here's the thing.
Damn, that was funny.
Hello, Jess.
What's up, Elsie?
Yay!
How you doing?
I'm all right. It's a little bit warm.
It's raining here. Sucks.
In these parts.
Yeah,
is it?
Drizzle. It's the drizzle manizzle. Is that inappropriate?
Oh. I don't even know what that is.
I think it's...
Why would it be inappropriate?
Because I think my nizzle is supposed to be like my N-word friend.
Oh.
For shizzle, my nizzle. Isn't that mean like for sure my N-word friend?
I don't know, dude.
Well, if I've offended anyone by saying that, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Nizzle is not the same. But yeah, it's raining. It's drizzling.
Oh.
Now I've already started the show and offensive. I feel awkward now.
Awkward. Who is it? My daughter. Both of my daughters say that. Awkward.
I feel awkward.
All the time because of the TV shows that they watch. So, Jess, have you played Pokemon Go?
No, but my kids have been playing it like for 2 days. Yeah. Are your kids playing it too? So my 18-year-old is playing it with his... the first day, I guess he was playing with his girlfriend who's a couple years younger. Not that much. And then... today, I think he went out with Laura's 9-year-old and they were playing it. Basically, he went out last night to play by himself and he got all the way to the destination and Nintendo's servers crashed. He was so pissed.
Oh,
so he couldn't
get
the instructions to take care of. So, yeah. For those of you who don't have children, basically, Nintendo found a way to get nerds outside. And the way that they're doing that is by, I guess, creating destinations in the real world where Pokemon are. You go to the destination and then you can download how to take care of and train your Pokemon. But yeah, so you have to go with your, I guess, phone or device. And he went and then he couldn't access anything.
Well, I have to say that, you know, I'm into it personally, me. In fact, that just gave me an idea. Like, I haven't checked if there's any Pokemons at Grandma's house.
Really?
I can't even tell you how cool it is to be walking around your house and finding little critters in your house. I find that incredibly appealing.
What are you talking about?
Dude, you can
find... Now you're making it sound like they're real.
Well, you can find them in your house.
Yes, but they're not... All right.
What?
But you made it sound like... you kind of freaked me out because first of all, I have a bug phobia.
Uh-huh.
You're telling me there's critters in my house. I already have a millipede problem just in general because it's Delaware.
Yeah, those things are like really
scary. They're so frightening. And then you're like, there's little critters in my house. It's wonderful. And I just like kind of like almost spit out my soda.
Well, Pokemon are
cute. No, so they're
cute.
Pretend. They are cute. And they're pretend. They are
but pretend.
But yes, you can find them in your house. Yes.
But it's very nice to see them in your house and to be able to like get them. Go get them. Get them all.
Yes. Absolutely.
So, and yesterday when we went out, we actually went out and my little one is actually obsessed with it. She really is. She got incredibly upset yesterday over stuff. She started crying because she couldn't get something. I don't know what happened. It was kind of nuts. But then, you know, that was like later in the day. She was low blood sugar, all that stuff. But I was in the library. I didn't tell anybody what I was doing. And I caught two Pokemons in the library all by myself.
What? Do you play Pokemon?
No, I never have. But
how
I really
do you know
like
you,
this.
You're finding them then?
Yes,
is
I am
an
finding
app?
Them. Well, yeah, Pokemon Go. You just put it on your phone, and then you start looking around, and you find Pokemon everywhere.
Hold on. Now I have to do it.
And it's so cute because they're, like, right there, and they
pop up. I'm annoyed. I have to do it, but I
have to. And then you have to throw the ball at them, and then they go, and then you put them away. And then so we're not, you know, I don't really play it seriously because it is a data monster. Like, it really does hog a lot of data. But it's so fun to be able to find them. And I got to say that being in the library.
Oh, my God, it actually shows the street where you are and the thing standing in the street. That is so weird.
I know. And then when you tap it, it becomes real life. And then it becomes like virtual reality. Like it looks through your camera. And it looks like.
How did they do that?
And then all of a sudden you see the little guys. They're like moving around. And then you try to throw the balls at them. And it's the cutest. Well, I thought it was the cutest thing to go inside the library.
My office
and catch
yeah
and then to catch them, it was so fun because I was in the middle of all these books, and then yesterday there was one Pokemon on top of my computer at the library, so but we caught him as well. But it's just
thank
fun.
God
it's just super fun to do it, and it also tells you like interesting tidbits about the environment that you're in, because you run out of balls, right? So you're throwing these balls at the Pokemons, and then sometimes you run out of balls, and the way that you get more balls
I'm
is that you have to go you would never run out of balls.
Never
You would find these like things, right? So you have to like, they're like these like, I don't even know what they look like. They look like, oh my gosh, I can't even describe it. Like, I have no words to describe what these things are. Like a building type thing with a circle on it. And then you tap on it. And that is a like an in the real world structure that usually has a corresponding historical or informative stuff about it. Right. So like that, you know, the Carnegie Library that we went to yesterday, it had a little bit of a thing about where it came from. There was like a soldier sort of statue out front. And then when you tap it, it gives you information about it. And that's how you get more balls. Like you go, you read about it, and then you like turn it and you make the little circle turn a lot, and then it gives you balls.
I don't need it to give me balls.
That sounded so weird.
It does.
But it recharges like every 5 minutes. So you can keep going back to it and getting more balls all the time.
It's telling me to be, remember to be alert at all times. Stay aware of your surroundings. Okay.
Of course, because people are looking down at their phone instead of like looking up.
Got it.
That is why. And it's like people, but anyway, I like it. I think it's great. It's making people walk around. And I think you can get more balls by running or something like that. Like if you run out of balls, you have to run and get more. Just run. And I think it's great that it's gotten people to go out into the world. Although, you know, we were just commenting, like there was an article that came out that's like a surefire way to get a black man killed. Mm-hmm. There was an article about that. Mm-hmm. Because what you do is like, you know, you basically are loitering. Mm-hmm. You're loitering mm-hmm. out in the real world. And if there's like a black man who decides to go out at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night and start to walk around in circles in a specific location, he just broke down what the possibilities of him getting thrown in jail or killed were.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, that is totally true. Because there is, I mean, if I saw even like a bunch of like a Latino gang like outside looking like a bunch of vatos and, a bunch of cholos outside, I'd be like, what are they doing?
I don't
right?
know what those things are.
It's so scary. Like Latino gang members, basically.
Oh, there's a Pokemon on my printer.
Get him, Jess. You have to throw the ball.
I got him.
Did you get him?
Yeah.
Good.
Now what happened?
I'm telling you, it's super fun.
Now I threw the ball. Now it's just stuck. Now it's paused.
There's nothing fun about that.
You have to keep on catching them.
How can I if my phone freezes?
Oh, that's no fun. Yeah.
Maybe this is what Nate was talking about. Has that not happened to you?
What? No. Well, yes, because I had given my daughter, I gave her the old phone, like one of my old phones that I have to use, because I'm not going to giving her my phone. My phone is like my baby. I'm attached to it. It's like an extra limb. So I can't let her have my phone. And so she's been, and it freezes all the time and it sucks. And I'm sorry for her. My other phone hasn't frozen. But anyway, no, but so that's like a problem, you know, like basically there could be some racial profiling and people could actually go in harm's way by doing going out at different times because people, you know, are messed up and they think that way. Then the other thing is that people are showing up to like the Holocaust Museum or like a cemetery or somewhere that is sacred in some way looking for Pokemons and catching Pokemons, which I couldn't, you know, I was at the library doing it, but I could see people like going to a synagogue or a church or something, sitting there trying to catch Pokemons while there's all this like sacred stuff happening, which is kind of
inappropriate.
Odd. Inappropriate, yes. And then the other thing is, so this is the other thing that's been happening with this, is that there have been people who have been basically luring people to a specific location to get Pokemons, and then they rob them.
That's creepy as shit.
I know. So there are all of these other things that go along with a game like this. And mind you, it was just released. But the amount of people that have picked it up is kind of crazy. I personally find it fun, but I am also, and for women too, you know, just thinking about it, catching Pokemons, like if you're like walking around, because I do a lot of walking, a lot of like being in the world kind of thing. And usually when you are walking around the streets or if you go into downtown or it's getting late or whatever, I have like the extra sensory time, you know, where it's like I have to be incredibly aware of where I am in space, what the people are around me, because I always have to be looking out for any bad guys or girls that might be coming up and popping out in some way. So you have to be aware at all times. And catching Pokemons is going to make your awareness absolutely zilch, because all you'll be looking for are Pokemons. So there is that.
There's a wild Pidgeley on my desk.
There.
I shit you not.
So there. We got Pokemon. So at this moment in time, we are a level 4. We have gotten to level 4 catching Pokemons. I don't even know what that means. And we even had to like watch videos to learn how to do it because we had no idea what we were doing, all three of us. But I think what's really great is that, you know, my 4-year-old, my 7-year-old, and myself can actually go out together and play this game. And I'm cool with that. And it's exciting. And it's outside, and we get to look around, and we get to learn things, and we're sort of engaged in a different way, where it's not me sitting in front of, because I'm not a gamer. I'm just not. I've never been. I've never been that person. So it's kind of been exciting.
I see it's trying to get me to walk down the street. That's so not happening. Now the app has to go away.
Yes, it does. And then there's going to be a point where you're going to be like, oh my God, I have to go across the street to catch that Pokemon.
Never mind.
We're going to change it really quick to some of my tool tips. So here we go with the tool tips.
Yay. Elsie's tool tip.
Oh my God, that was so fun. Okay.
It was really fun.
So I got, for Elsie's yoga class and for Elsie's yoga kula, which I guess my website gets a crap ton of SEO, right? Like I have so much clout. I cannot even tell you on a daily basis I'm pitched for that thing. And so I had somebody reach out to me about a meditation app that they were thinking like, you know, this would be really great for your audience, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, let me take a look. And actually what it is, and it actually is, I think it's actually, oh, you know what it is? It's called Meditate.
Yeah, not Meditate.
Not Meditate. And I got confused because when I typed it in, I wrote in Meditate with .me because that's where it is. And I'm like, that was like a 404, right? I'm like, what? How did this even happen? But it's not. It's Meditate with me .me. No, Meditate with .me is where you go. So what this app basically does is that it provides you with like yoga classes and meditation classes and Reiki classes that are around town that in case you want to take them. Mm-hmm. And it's for iOS and Android, and it's free. And I just thought like that was kind of neat because there are times when I have wanted to find a class around and I don't know where to go, especially if like, let's pretend people, I was at Podcast Movement and I decided I wanted to go to some kind of meditation class. I would have been able to go to one if I would have had this app. And I believe teachers can actually do it too. So if you have a class or something, you can upload it and you can have chats with your friends and stuff. So I think that's a great thing to have if you are into that stuff. And actually, you know what? I did have a podcaster reach out to me about that. He emailed me and he said, hey, I got into yoga and I thought, can you tell me or do you know any yoga teachers or yet any yoga app, yoga studios in Chicago? Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I don't.
Why would I send them
to them. Because I have yoga teacher friends all over the place. I mean, I in LA, I know lots of people. I do know a lot of teachers in different parts of the country. But Meditate With .me would be your, so I just thought I'd share that because that person reached out to me and I was like, well, dude, I'm not doing this, but I'm doing this. If you're interested in this stuff, I'm happy to mention your thingy majigger. I know how hard it is to get anybody to pay attention to your apps. It's just like, it's not Pokemon Go. Nothing is like Pokemon Go. That's like a unique thing. That's sort of like Pokemon Go is kind of like the cereal of Apple, of like apps.
Yeah.
So.
At the moment, anyway.
At the moment, exactly. And so everybody's kind of waiting for something else. But, okay, so we have a little bit of feedback this time. We have some voice feedback from Jessica Rhodes. Because, Jessica, dude, you so surprised me. You know, we released our episode at 6 a.m. on Monday morning.
No, she'd given us feedback by like 8.
I know. And the episode was an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was crazy. Crazy.
Crazy. So we have Jessica Rhodes is giving us some feedback about her experience from Podcast Movement.
Hi, Elsie and Jess. This is Jessica Rhodes from Interview Connections. And I just listened to your episode where you debriefed Podcast Movement. I thought it was great. And what better way to record a debrief than in bed with each other? I wanted to give my feedback as a sponsor of Podcast Movement. I had an 8-foot booth and I didn't go to Podcast Movement last year because I had a baby last summer, but I went the first year. And I have to say that I could not be more thrilled with this event from a business perspective. If you have a business where you're serving podcasters in any way or even business owners and for marketing, I really highly recommend investing in a booth. I more than doubled my return on investment just at the conference. I thought it was very interesting how I kind of talked to a ton of people. There were a whole range of podcasters from brand new podcasters to experienced podcasters to people just getting started across business podcasts to hobby podcast, just such a great range from the first year when people thought that it was too businessy. I think the attendees are just so diverse, at least in the category of their shows and iTunes is diverse. So I was thrilled with it. I really can't wait till next year. And it was a great, very entertaining debrief episode. So thanks, ladies. Talk to you soon.
Yay. That was
Yay.
Nice.
Yay. That was very sweet. And how awesome does she sound?
Awesome.
I don't even, you know, she sent that via SpeakPipe. And so I'm assuming that it must have been SpeakPipe on her computer because she sounds like she's on her Heil PR40 because that's what she uses at the moment because she's fancy like that. But yeah, so the experience as a vendor, Jess, are you sad now that you didn't get a booth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should have got a booth.
You did debate on that for a while.
I'll probably have one next year. I wasn't ready this year. You know, I just launched this Verstunkene agency in February or March. So right. It's June. It's July. And I mean, you know, there's no way I could have. Affording to go is the key.
No, you're really, right. You're right. Totally.
You know, next year, I'll be able to afford a booth. And I'm looking forward to that. I saw lots of clients, so I was happy. But next year I would like to have a booth just because it's easier to explain, meet other people. I mean, it's just easier to be on the floor. It wasn't easier. I didn't get a good feel of the conference because I wasn't really there a lot. And that made me sad.
Yeah, it was. It seemed like there were a lot more vendors there. I think that if I had a request for vendors to come, and I'm not sure if those vendors are listening to our show, actually, but what I would like to see more of is the gear, the tech stuff. Like, I want to see vendors who are, like, I know Ringer was there, which is obviously like a software sort of app for iOS as well as the computers and whatnot. But they are also, and then there was Samsung was there, and I think Shure microphones were there. But I feel that we really need to have more of that happening.
Mm-hmm.
because I want to have a balance between people who are offering services to podcasters, people who are supporting them in different ways, like Jessica Rhodes has her business, and it's all about like making interviews, interview connections and whatnot. We have vendors like Podbean and Libsyn and Blueberry and all those that are the hosts that do that kind of stuff. Podcast websites who do all like all the other, like everything together kind of in one thing. But I kind of also want to see the tech stuff. I want to see vendors who can, who are more about product, because I want to touch that stuff. Like, I want to see the microphones. I want to be able to check those out. It was the coolest thing to see that stuff. So if I had a dream for more vendors, it would be that they're like that. AWeber was there. I thought that that was a good move. MailChimp should definitely show up as well and see how they can serve podcasters. But anyway, go ahead and change the subject.
So yesterday, most of you, if you're on our email list, may have gotten an email from the name NERY, NERY, Music for Podcast. And
oh, yeah.
Just so you know, that person scraped our directory and sent it to everyone, because when you go to unsubscribe from that list, it says about She Podcasts. She Podcasts unsubscribe successful, which means that basically he scraped the list from our directory and then emailed everyone in it. And so I got the email, but then Kate Sitka sent me a note saying, hey, this person, it looked like the person was claiming to be, when you go to unsubscribe and it says She Podcasts and that's not you, it's kind of creepy. So I was just like, I wrote him and I said, excuse me, where'd you get this email? How did you get this from She Podcasts? It's not public information. You're spamming this list. He said, I'm sorry if the email annoyed you. I unsubscribed you. So I wrote back and said, it's not your directory. It's not okay for you to scrape it and email people. In fact, it's against the law. You need people to sign up in order to market to them. Not only that, but the directory belongs to me. It's my website. Those names opted in to be included into my directory, not your email list. And when it goes to unsubscribe, it says She Podcasts. How dare you take those emails and pretend to be She Podcasts? You have no right to do that. You better delete every single email you scrape from there, or I'm going to report you to every email provider there is.
Boom. And guess what? I was having a conversation with this person as well, who is Portuguese, by the way.
You did? You wrote him back too? We separately gave him hell?
No. Because I was actually, I thought he emailed the feed, because I hadn't gotten the other email yet. So I thought he emailed the feed. And when people send stuff to the feed all the time. So basically what I said is like, oh, that's an interesting service. I think our people would be interested in that. I honestly didn't think, like, I didn't try to unsubscribe because I didn't think I was part of a list. I thought he was just reaching out to the feed.
He scraped our directory.
So then I emailed him back and I was like, well, this is kind of interesting. If you want to reach our audience, why don't you send us some voice feedback? This is before Kate emailed us.
Okay? Right.
This happened before Kate emailed us.
Right.
So I'm like, why don't you sell us some feedback? So he emailed me back and he said, thank you for your reply. I'm Brazilian and not so good in spoken English. I'll ask one of our USA composers to record a voice feedback and I should send you one in a day or so. And I was like, okay, whatever. So then afterwards, he did send it. So then Kate's email came in and I was like, oh my God, I just was like making friends with this dude that totally scraped our list. I had no idea that he did that.
I didn't think anything of it.
I know. And so then all of a sudden I'm like, so he sends me this, an email, like a voice feedback that he sent, right? He said, please find attached a short voice message describing music for podcast.com and also offering a discount for the feed listeners. Please let me know what you think. Thank you very much.
Christ.
And so I listened to it and I was like, oh, this is I honestly think it's a great service for podcasters, right?
Yeah, it probably is, but don't scrape our directory.
Exactly. So then afterwards I said, thank you so much. I'm going to play it on the next episode. Also, FYI, I also co-run She Podcasts, the community and podcast, and some of our ladies have complained that we're getting emails from you and they had not opted into your list. That doesn't bode well with podcasters and they might mark you as spam if you'll end up losing more than gaining.
Oh, I was going to suggest everyone mark him as spam now.
Right. And so then, so then I go, please consider reaching out to podcast communities or groups and asking them to opt in.
Dummy.
Rather than just adding them. Have a great day. And that's what I said. Now he answered back. This is great, Elsie. Thank you so much. Very happy to appear on the feed. Then he says, about She Podcasts. Yes, you are right. I made a beginner's mistake in online marketing, or a series of beginner's mistakes.
Yeah, I should say so.
Jessica contacted me yesterday, angry with me, and with a fair reason. I apologize to her, and I extend my apologies to you. Thank you, Neri. So hopefully...
I love how you're making friends at the same time I'm making enemies. Mommy and Daddy. That's such a sexist thing to say. I shouldn't even say that, but like, it does kind of feel like that. Like, oh, Elsie, let me see how I can do this in a nice and friendly way. And Jessica's like, fuck you and the horse you rode in on. Oh. Eat shit and die. Like, I'm so mean.
You know, I wouldn't, and I would have been a little bit harsher if I wouldn't have already started making friends with him.
That's probably
You know,
true.
Because I thought, like, I honestly thought the service was cool. Like, I didn't, I also didn't think it was, I was part of a list. I just thought he sent an email to the feed.
I wouldn't have known either, but someone tried to unsubscribe and saw our name at the top. That's how it happened.
Totally. And so, and that's, I didn't even notice that. I had no idea. And then that's why I would have not, and of course, and then I thought, like, why did he, like, since he was sending it to the feed isn't necessarily a woman podcast. Like, it's not, I don't see it as part of the She Podcast directory. But then after I thought about it, I'm like, duh, I put it in there because I co-host the show and I added myself. Mm-hmm. So that's why it was part of that as well. So anyway, I just thought that was like weird and silly. And yeah. So mm-hmm. then there's that. So we're going to get a little bit into some more feedback here that we have from Taylor Bradford. And she's talking, she's schooling us a little bit about Texas, dude.
Again, I did not feel that this is podcaster related, but Taylor, I'm going to give you a bone. All right. Dallas people don't care. Fort Worth people do because we're not Dallas. For the record, PM 15 was in Fort Worth, not Dallas. They call it Dallas because it's more recognizable. But before that, it wasn't. So like 14 was in Dallas. 15 was in Fort Worth.
That's
Fort
right.
Worth has an amazing zoo, Six Flags, Hurricane Harbor, and is in close by Arlington. Here's a post that gives some things to do. I'm definitely not putting that link, but you can do it in the show notes. But it's Movoto or whatever. The party last year in Fort Worth was in the Stockyards. It wasn't even really in the Stockyards, so you completely missed out on that experience. Yeah. I know. The Stockyards are really cool and part of Fort Worth's history, but I have to agree that Omni was really on the southern side of downtown, so you didn't really get a chance to enjoy Sundance Square and everything that goes on at Fort Worth. Don't mess with Texas. That's what this email means to me. Sorry, Taylor.
Right. Don't mess with Texas. So, I just thought we didn't really clarify is all. We got them confused. They were both in Texas. It didn't really... Like,
you need to now, John.
Totally
you need
understand.
To play the "I'm sorry, so sorry." If you can find that song,
I'm sorry, so sorry.
But still, we didn't really have a chance to experience any of that, nor even learn that for ourselves.
Yeah.
And we didn't have Pokemon Go, so we didn't.
Right.
We couldn't go find out about Fort Worth via Pokemon Go, which. Because they would have told us.
Right.
So we are moving into some news now.
The news you can use for the informed podcaster. Podcasting news. You like that? It's kind of fun to hear it as we're going.
It's I know. I love that. Okay, so Audible Channels. Jess, what do you have to say about Audible Channels? Can you give us a little background to what that is?
Audible Channels is Amazon's way of creating both original content for Amazon/Audible and hiring, I guess, people to do so. And then they are making it a part. It's a subscription. So like if you already have an Audible.com account, you will automatically get the channels and all the audio shows that come with it. However, if you are not part of Audible, you can pay just for the channels for $4.95 a month. And so basically it's like podcasting behind a paywall, which is a smart way of monetizing it if you are Amazon. I don't think that the rest of us would be able to fucking get away with this. That's what I think. And it's not about getting away with it. But okay, so do you remember a year and a half or so ago when we were talking about Ramit Sethi? And he was saying how like he wouldn't podcast unless he made people pay for it. And we were like, who the fuck do you think you are? No one pays for a podcast. Fuck you. Well, this is sort of how I feel about that, except it's not Ramit Sethi. It's Amazon. And they can make people pay for it because they are getting really good and original like stuff. And they're getting comedians and news people and, you know, like real people to like do their shows and not just Ramit and his giant ego as co-hosts. That made me giggle. Sorry. And so I mean I think for them, it's a good idea. It certainly does make the rest of us kind of like go on pause to see how it works out for them. Like, is it going to tank? Is it going to do well? Should everyone do this? It would be amazing, actually, for the rest of us if NPR and WNYC followed suit, because then they would be on their own little planet and we could have our own little planet back. Like, wouldn't it be great if you could, like, sign up?
Oh, that's a great way to spin it.
Sign up for Audible. I also joined WNYC's. I also subscribe to Panoply's. By the way, I have Slate for $5. Each one's like $5. They're ending up paying $50 a month, or they could listen to Jess and Elsie for free.
For free.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Sookie now.
Oh, my God. That's perfect.
So, anyway, it's just a thought. Just a thought.
So, yeah, and you know, Eric Newsom is
he's
saying...
He's the CEO, just because not everyone knows podcast jargon.
Right. He's got a very... He's had a lot of a wealthy... Not wealthy... A nice, beautiful career in audio where he's been doing great things for radio programming and public media. And he has recently just moved over to Audible. And he really, really believes in this idea around channels where... He is basically trying to disseminate the word podcast and kind of remove it completely from what they are creating to focus more on basically digital audio and then brand it in a completely different way so that it doesn't really have the podcast anything attached to it, which is why these things are called channels. And he is, in a sense, in a way, trying to create something that goes along, it's more along the lines of Netflix, where there is, you know, Netflix has their own original content that they're creating. They're also pulling certain content into the sphere in there. You know, they're creating partnerships with other distributors so that they are then streamed there. And then you pay a certain amount of money and you get the ability to get these podcasts delivered to you. Now, I get that, but at the same time, I guess checking these out, it's a variety of different things that are being offered. I tried to listen to a few of them, and there's interesting stuff. Like, if you don't really have time to read, like, the New York Times or read other websites, you can, in essence, subscribe to that channel, and then you will have a professional narrator, a professional reader, or voiceover artist read you the articles that you don't have a chance to read.
Right.
That's cool. There are other services that do that. That's neat. It does sound like they're reading. I mean, that's what they actually have a whole thing about. It's called Woman. It's hashtag Woman Power Wednesday. And they have articles from USA Today, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the narrators. I don't know what that is. And they have, like, you know, here are the articles. Serena Williams wants respect for women's tennis. How Wall Street Journal bro talk keeps women down. A new discovery sheds light on ancient Egypt's most successful something or other, because it's, I'm just looking at the titles. And so I can understand it's basically a curation of the best articles about women in a space. And instead of reading them all, you can listen to them all, which I think is a good idea. You know, that's cool. And I don't think that they really have RSS. Mm. As part of the equation. So it's not like somebody can go, hey, I want to get this Woman Power Wednesday feed and add it to my feed catcher of choice, my podcast catcher of choice, and listen to these things. So I understand why that would be interesting for channels. They're also doing, like, they have Audible Original. They have one called Authorized. It says Ashley Ford chats with authors about their first drafts, rejections, and even lovers. Or loves, not lovers. Loves. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. That was me talking. there's another one called Breasts Abound. And this one is Florence Williams.
That was a good one. Jonathan made a funny, huh?
Oh, my God. All right. So Florence Williams examines the fascinating and unexpected life of the human breast in this Audible Original series coming soon. There's a pilot episode. And it says, like, it's like 55 years of breast implants. That's the title of the episode. And it's basically talking about that. So I'm, you know, I'm intrigued by that. I actually want to listen to that one.
Yeah.
It seems kind of interesting to have a whole podcast about human breast. Like, because there's the breastfeeding, you know, podcast. Like, there's so many, there's a lot of those that I know about, but not about the actual breast. Like, just talking about boobs.
Yeah, so, I mean.
And the history.
You think they'll get tired of talking about boobs?
Well, I'm sure it's not going to go on forever. See, that's the other thing with these channels. It's like, I don't think that they're like, you know how She Podcast will... is forever.
Till we both die.
Till we both yes. die. We're going to be like, oh, hi, Jess.
What's up, Elsa?
So glad to have you. I know. Ah, don't make me laugh. I'm going to pee in my... but
Elsie made me laugh so hard my teeth fell out.
So they have all of these things. So it's really cool. But they also have additions like Alec Baldwin's podcast, Here's the Thing. It's been mm-hmm. added to this as well. So, and there's a Savage, it's not Savage Love actually, but it's Dan Savage has, I guess, a new podcast. It's called Hot Mike.
Okay.
And so he is doing live storytelling about sex and relationships on here, which is, I guess, unique to this. So there are some interesting things about it. I tried a couple of times, but usually I go to Audible, at least at this moment, to listen to audiobooks. And I haven't really, I tested it out because I was like, I want to give this a go. I want to see like, how is this gonna, I like to listen to audio. So I just listened to science articles read to me. Of course I would. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah. Totally.
but I just don't know about the positioning of like, this is going to, I don't know. You know what? Who knows? Let's discuss this a year from today and okay. see how Audible Channels is doing. Yes. Put it down and see how Audible Channels is going and how they have single-handedly opened up the audio distribution space and made it something way more than podcasts. Let's see. I don't know. But the thing is around this, like the articles that have been coming out are all about Amazon, because Amazon is the parent company of Audible. Amazon is making you pay for podcasts. Like that's the title. And I thought, oh my God, when I read that, I was like, what's happening? And then I looked, oh, it's just the channels thing. Maybe I should have been more, I don't know, but whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know, if you're an Audible right. subscriber, at least at this moment, you get them anyway. So I guess I'm paying for podcasts.
I guess right now you are.
Crazy pants. Yo. All right, so then we had a mighty conversation happening in the She Podcast group about, again, procasters versus podcasters. And this has about Anna Sale's keynote. Did you hear it? Oh, no, I asked you and you said you did not.
No, I did not.
Yeah.
But I certainly have heard about the backlash.
I know. I was kind of surprised. Were you?
Kind of. No, because everybody's outraged about something. So
that's
no.
True.
But I feel like it's not as big of a deal as everyone's making it.
Yeah, me neither.
And
me neither.
I think it's not fair for people to get angry about something they didn't hear.
Exactly. I think that that's the key. That's absolutely the key.
And like, I didn't hear it. But that said, wait, I'm trying to find the post from last night.
So while I'm just going to, while you look, look for it, it keeps coming up on my feed here.
Hold on. I'll just, it does? Okay. Maybe that's
I will kind of give the gist of it. So I watched about half of it. And again, guys, the only reason I didn't stay for the whole thing is because I honestly felt compelled to be going to the Libsyn booth because it was busy the whole time. So I had to do my job. Mm-hmm. And so I would sneak in and I'd check out the keynotes for a little bit. I would kind of get the gist of it and then I would go back. Right. So I did, and I thought everything she was saying, actually, I had just met with a client and I had been talking to her about community. And that's really what she was talking about when I walked into this specific keynote. And I thought she was right on talking about the specific things that I talked to my client about anyway. very interesting stuff about community and bringing them together and the human element and having conversations back and forth with your community and the kind of feedback that they were getting, because feedback, I think, is key to driving a community the way that we do at this moment. And I was like, I was inspired because she was saying what I already said. So I'm like, see, she even says it. And I guess my complaint about that when I was listening to all this stuff was like, she has a lot of resources that we as podcasters do not. It takes a lot for people to send feedback to us. It takes a lot for people to take feedback to us. And then they were getting like hordes of feedback sent to them. So I was just thinking like, maybe she should have addressed. I left, so I didn't get any of this. And what I thought was like, maybe she should have addressed how to start to get feedback or this community element with a podcast that does not have the resources that they do. So that's basically my complaint was based on that. And then I left. And then have you found the thing that was posted on She Podcast? Okay.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then this
yeah,
is
yeah,
what
yeah,
was
yeah, yeah.
put on She Podcasts.
Well, what the first person who posted basically just said, I heard a couple men talking about it. I wasn't able to attend. This is the first I heard about it. Did she really compare her professionally produced podcast to a hospital birth and a hobby podcast as a home birth? And then people started going, wow, yes, she did. Yes, yes, yes. And then the original poster said, is there any context? And Andrea Klunder said, of course, she was answering someone's question. I think a single mom asked what advice she had for someone who doesn't have a team budget network to help produce her show. And she said she didn't have any experience with that. That is indeed a stupid question to ask someone who works for a studio. But yeah, anyway, what advice do you have for someone who does the exact opposite of what you do? I don't know. Duh. Anyway, sorry, I'm done. But she did make that analogy. It was an extension of how starting a podcast is like having a baby. And then someone else wrote, that's a terrible analogy. And then Kathy Kelly said, the hospital versus home birth didn't come up until the question about the team. She made the analogy off the cuff. She frankly acknowledged the fact that independent podcasters don't have the same resources. And then Carol Sanek said, right now, and I remember why people so fussy about this. If you were there, you would have understood. And then someone else wrote, her whole talk was about how it was like having a baby because she just had one like 5 weeks ago. And then someone else wrote, as an activist in maternal health and knowing the high mortality rate of women during labor at hospitals here in the U.S., I take serious offense in this analogy.
Right. And I it's like,
sorry.
I know. And I understand. I understand. This is why I was like, oh, my God. Like, at first I thought like it's just.
Everyone who was there is sticking up for this woman, and everyone who wasn't there are the people who are annoyed about it. Like Tina Dietz was like, I see where she was going. She just clearly has never either had an independently produced podcast or a home birth.
Yeah.
Probably true.
And I completely understand. And that's what, like, when I commented, you know, I commented and said that, you know, birth as itself is a really hot topic. It is not something that you can easily talk about in a public setting without somebody having some serious judgment around any choice that you have, whether it's because you decided you want to have an epidural right away and you don't really care, or whether you decide you want to have your home, a home birth, and you don't even want to have a midwife with you. You just kind of want to birth yourself, you know, like, which is that,
yeah,
like,
right.
Everybody's going to go like, how can you do that? The baby, but you know, and it's like, there's other people. I mean, with every little thing about birth, you are fighting for what you believe in with birth already. And regardless of whatever choice you make, whether it's totally fully, you know, hospital or totally fully, in quotes, natural, because birth is natural as a whole. But if you want to do something different, you are going to encounter conflict and you're going to have to stand up for yourself the entire time. And so it's already so loaded that you cannot make a, like, it's not something, the only thing I think we all agree on possibly as women is that it's a powerful experience. You know, we can all say like, well, that was a doozy, right? In some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, right.
But other than that, I don't think it's like, we can't all be the same. And so, I don't know. And see, when I was I was floored by, after, you know, I went in this, I was just like, you know, I did a little bit of research, of course, and I found out, dude, she had just had her baby, I think June 5th or June 8th, by C-section, which means...
Yeah, which is painful and horrible
and
scary, whether you what's the word?
Right.
Planet
and then
or
she
not.
Went, but
scary.
Still, I mean, she's recovering from surgery and this is her, and she's doing a keynote. And usually you get like six, mm-hmm. at 6 weeks is basically what they give you after that to start to do your own, you know, to start your own thing. I had a C-section. I had an emergency C-section for mm-hmm. my first baby. And mm-hmm. I mean, you're recovering from somebody cutting you open. Honestly. So it's like, hello.
Yeah.
She was giving a keynote in, I don't know. I was just thinking like, could you imagine like walking around that space and having people give you hugs and stuff and you're nursing literally somebody just like sewed you up on your belly?
Actually, I can because boys have a circumcision 8 days uh-huh. after the birth. And it's really not that fun to host 150 Ooh. People at your house and order deli and yeah, figure out iced tea when you're basically like still sitting on like hospital
yeah.
you yeah. know, diapers that they give you.
I know.
It's terrible. So yeah, I felt for her. And I mean, I didn't see her. I didn't care to see about her keynote, but I mean, I think she has a very valid point. It is exactly like that in a you cannot, you know, you can't just be a doula, self-teach, no matter how much information you listen, it's the same as being a doctor. No matter how many Harvard podcasts you listen to, how many medical journals you read, you can't fucking be a doctor unless you go to medical school. You also can't work at WNYC or any radio show unless you have some kind of education
exactly.
in broadcasting.
Exactly.
Why is this different? This is no different.
That's right.
What she said was
exactly.
spot on.
No, you're right. And it's like, and it's kind of true because you do have to, it's based on.
And
right.
it's obvious.
It's not based on, and this is the fight that we have as podcasters, that we are so
over
yes.
and over, in fact. I'm tired. I'm getting a little tired of explaining
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing too. It's like there's a difference, right?
In, be a doula. In,
exactly. No,
except
but what I'm
life.
Saying is that as podcasters here, like right now, what we are giving birth like in to our babies, right? To this specific which is exactly what she was saying to our voices in this way. But there is an element to birthing that it has nothing to do with higher education, if you will, to the way that it's set up at, you know, like to be a doctor, right? To learn to be a proper doctor. You go to a university, you do your years, you do your internships, you do your work, and these are the things that you do versus possibly doing something like being a type of healer, shaman of sorts, right? Where you kind of you're an intuitive medical person and you can kind of get the gist of how other people are, you know, living their life and maybe make adjustments or give people advice based on like this other type of intuitive real life situations, which are people out there, like the alternative healer type people. Both of these are valid, but they're completely different. And so one of them has to do with that intuitive aspect of it. And I think that we as independent podcasters tend to do that more. We're more intuitive. We do it our way. We kind of break we break boundaries. We try to do things in a different way. We don't care about maybe audio as much as these people are talking about. There is a specific way. You can't do that as a doctor. You know what I mean? It is annoying.
And I mean, I don't mean to say that I'm annoyed by our wonderful community.
No, of course not.
I'm
no, and saying... it's not that. It's not that at all. I think it's a trigger, but it's a trigger conversation too, Jess. You know, I mean, if you were, I could understand that. You know, what it made me think about was how many times this has happened and currently is happening in our culture where somebody gets the information from somebody else and they mm-hmm. go off on that one mm-hmm. thing. She said, what? I can't believe it. And then all of a sudden, there's this all of this negative sort of hateful and feelings happening on the other end of things. Whereas really, if you had been present and if you had been engaged in real life at that moment, that would not have in any way, shape or form had the same charge as heard from secondhand. And I think that right now as a society, we, because information travels so fast, we can't get all of it. We just get a snippet. And that's what, that's actually what media thrives on. Being able to just, I mean, that could literally be, we, you know, that could be something somebody could run with. That specific snippet. Anna Sale said, and then just quote her and then totally go off on that. And you know what I mean? And the truth of the matter is that that's not really what happened, because it's from secondhand understanding. And then, you know, the people are going to come in and go like, well, that I take offense to that because I'm X, Y, and Z, and this is what matters to me and blah, blah, blah. But that really doesn't matter, because that wasn't part of the initial part of the conversation.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just sad. I just feel she did a great job. I enjoyed watching her. Hats off to her to know that she was, she had just had a baby at home, and you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I would have said if I would have been up there too. Your brain doesn't work properly. You can barely figure, like, somebody's sucking off your life off of you. Somebody's eating off of your body at that time.
All right, that's okay. Enough. I think I have to change the subject now. That made me a little nauseous.
Let me see. What do we have here? Because I have a thing that just came, and I can't go to our Trello page because why does this happen? It's the most annoying thing. All right, so what radio thought about podcast movement? You said that...
What radio thought about podcast movement?
You said that that made you a little sick or something when you read that. Continuing on the sick scenario that you were just experiencing.
While you're sick.
While you're feeling ill.
So I'm not going to say that there's a good reason why it made me nauseous, or that I even know consciously what it is. Some of the things made me really happy. So the comments that made me really happy were... Buzz Knight from Greater Media said, I love being a first timer. The energy and exuberance reminded me of my visit to Consumer Electronics Show. Kevin Smith summed up my takeaway by saying, podcasting is a medium built on self-expression and passion. Go risk something and create. I loved that. Mm. And his whole message was really like that. Mike O'Malley from, Carrie Hoffman said, because the gathering's a cross section from public media, commercial media, independence, best practices can be generously shared. I find value in learning from people and businesses I don't know yet, which I thought was great. And then she said, it's exposed our, this is Public Radio Exchange, by the way, PRX, and she's a CEO. PM has exposed our organization to the larger world, exciting trends, existing hurdles. The conference is large. Over time, the lack of attendee segmentation will create a programming challenge. That kind of made me nervous a little bit. I don't know why. Hmm. And then the guy under her said, talent and opportunity. We often find talent in the radio pool. Meanwhile, the podcasting waters are very rich with the type of enthusiastic storytellers we're looking for. So I love that he admitted, like, hey, maybe we're not looking in the right place. Or places. Second, monetization opportunities go well beyond pre, mid, and post roll. Thinking differently about scale opens up a world of monetization possibilities. That made me panic a little bit.
Why?
Because I already know that there's a world of monetization opportunities, but as someone who tries to encourage podcasters to do that already, like if there was like say 20 more overnight, I might have to blow my brains out trying to figure out how to manage and navigate it all and then explain it to other people. It just made me, you know, it's kind of like once upon a time I was an expert at how to do Facebook ads and get 50 cents a lead, and then it all changed and then I had to let it go because I couldn't keep up with it. And I mean, it wasn't my first interest, but also I couldn't keep up with it. Now I have no idea how to do a Facebook ad properly. So there you have it. Tom Bernard K. QRS Morning Show said, podcasting is a great way to fuel consumption and on-demand content. In terms of terrestrial radio, it's another way to promote your brand, grow your platform, and has a big upside for radio companies leveraging their top talent. That made me a little unhappy too. Because now, not only is podcasting open and free to all the podcasters and the larger radio connections, but now every putz on a radio show is going to now need a podcast. Like, that just sounds exhausting to wade through. Every city... in every state, he's telling them podcasting is another way to promote your brand, grow your platform, has a big upside for you. So that's right, Delaware, WJBR. Well, why don't you have a podcast yet?
Well, I think that, you know, the problem with that is, though, is that Well, it's not a, it's not necessarily a problem of the content. It's a problem of distribution and consumption. Because, you know, when we went to Chicago, we were obviously we were driving. We drove our kidnapper van to Chicago. So as we were going through, we were switching. We were switching radio stations. We don't, you know, when I listen to my podcast, I listen to podcasts. Like, we don't, at this moment, we, in the consumption that happens, the girls like to listen to basically pop music. They like to listen to stuff that's on the radio. So we put the stuff on the radio, and we always find the station as we're driving through. But there's no way to do that with podcasts. Even if it was, let's say, a music podcast, or maybe it was something that the girls would like as we're moving from one place to the next. And we want to really align with the pulse of that specific city or that specific state. There's no way to find that. Like, we would have to do that beforehand. Like, let's find a podcast that's about Chicago music, or it's about Chicago's, you know, maybe it's Chicago radio stations have a podcast. Like, that's not something I think about, nor do I go look for it. I can understand why it's valuable for people in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I just, I don't know. So
it's
consumption. But anyway.
Yeah, totally.
So otherwise, though, it seems like there's a lot of conversation. Like, the only thing that I have to say, and honestly, I'm not sure if this was true or not, because, again, I was at the Lipson booth the entire time talking to people that were coming to the booth. So I didn't have an opportunity to attend sessions. I didn't have an opportunity to see where the sessions were held. Nor even to mingle. Like, I walked on the show floor a little bit and kind of checked out the vendors for a little bit. So that was kind of fun. I wish I would have had more time to do that. But what I didn't have the opportunity to do was to really see where everybody was hanging out. And this is purely perception, which may or may not have been true for me. When you came down to the show floor, there were some bigger like places for presentations. Right as you came down the stairs, there were like the larger sort of atrium looking rooms right towards the front part. And then you kept walking. And then once you kept walking, there was like the really large stage and there were the vendors. And then it looked like there were smaller rooms in that area. What I seem to glean, and this may or may not have been true, is that the radio presenters were all in those first rooms right at the beginning. When you first came down the stairs, right there, that's where like all of the radio people were set to do their stuff. And that's also where all of the radio people hung out, like all up against the wall right there. I don't even know if they walked to the other part.
Right.
So I was like, so this is a separate thing then? So, okay.
All right.
So it seemed to me that there was already a separation even happening within that. But then I'm actually not quite sure. And somebody in here was talking about that if this in the, I'm not even sure who said this. If this continues, there is going to be a point when there's going to have to be tracks that are going to be made because of the level of people that are coming to present. So what I'm starting to sense is that there is going to be a very specific shift in like, this is the radio track. This is the, you know, indie podcaster track. This is the sponsorship.
Didn't they sort of have tracks this time?
I'm not sure that they did. I think.
Let me look. Hold on.
I think.
I feel like they're, well, everything was color coordinated, and I know that the money stuff was green.
That's true.
So I feel like there was tracks on some level.
Yes, but they were.
I did hear a couple people suggest that instead of doing tracks like by topic, they do it by beginner, intermediate, advanced, or maybe they could color coordinate the tracks to be beginner, media, and it. I mean, that's just getting crazy. But like, it's kind of hard because every year there's 500 new podcasters and 1,000 that came last year that heard Lex Fridman say in his talk, I said this last year. I mentioned this last year. Right. I said this last year. I mentioned this last year. Like, nothing new to report, then don't have him be a speaker.
Right.
You know, that just doesn't make sense. Like, have someone else who, like, what happened to Sarah Von Moser? Like, she used to work for NPR or NYC, and now she's ahead of Acast.
Right.
She's doing crazy monetization shit with Acast. Like, somebody new would be good.
I know.
And not the same people every time.
So here's a question, Jess, about that. So if you were splitting up the tracks, because I did hear that comment as well, but I was left kind of speechless. Like, I was thinking, like, poor Jared and Dan, man. When somebody goes, like, it was way too focused on beginner stuff. And I was like, okay, so what's an advanced session like? What is that?
Oh, come on. Okay. Advanced session would be how to up level your audio. You've been doing this for a while. Like, here are some mics that you can invest in. Here are some exact ways. I mean, and I'm talking out of my ass because now I mean, I have the sessions in front of me,
right.
But I mean, it's like a grid of text. I have no idea what So let's just go on. Edison Data, Meet the Podcast Final. Okay. How podcasting became content marketing, Rock the Podcast from the Other Side. Yeah. I mean, like, some of that is like, yeah, how to be a good guest, how to be a good interviewer. But like, what if you've been doing that for 3 years already? So like, what you're asking is what would you and I want to hear?
Yeah.
About?
What would be like, oh my God, that's great. That I'd like to learn that. Like, what does that look like?
Creating content. Okay, you and I could probably create an addition. How about how to create additional shows without killing yourself? Because you and I mean, I have a new show with John, and then also I'm talking about starting one with Ramona, and then also I'm talking about co-hosting on another one with some guy that someone introduced me to. So that'll be like 4 or 5 shows.
Right.
How can I do that and still run a business? How can I do that and not dilute my brand? How can I do that? Now you've caught the podcasting bug, how do you do it over and over? Is it scalable? Do you need a network? Like, and who would be great at that? Daniel Lewis, because he has like 12 shows that he does or whatever. And Kevin Smith has 12 shows that he does.
Relay FM does that. Actually, Mike Hurley, the guy who runs Relay FM, he actually does host. He actually starting a whole new podcast now. I think he does like 6.
Yeah.
But you know that's what he's doing. Like, he's not running. I mean, the business is the podcast. So I understand what that is. And also, I guess the question is like, should you do these shows?
Yeah.
Like, is it worth it? Or, you know, I mean, there's just so many. So this is what I found, the person that said this. This is from Carrie Hoffman, the Public Radio Exchange. You might have already read this stuff, but this is the part that actually resonated with me, because most of them said about the same thing. That was not like, it was sort of like they were being very political about their answers. It was something like, that was really great. Good job. It was in the gist of it all. But this is what Carrie said. She said, PM has exposed our organization to the larger world of podcasting, the exciting trends, and the existing hurdles. The conference is large, and over time, the lack of attendee segmentation will create a programming challenge. That sentence is the one that popped out of me, because it's true. In fact, I think that's where the key to growing this is going to be, because there's going to be so much, and being able to create the tracks or the segmentation to guide people to what they really want to know is going to be very, very important. But what's so gray about podcasting is that there are already two hugely different existing tracks, which you experienced by going to Work It. Because Work It is one specific thing. They are focusing on one type of podcast. Mm-hmm. And one type of development, and one type of editing, and one type of design, and one type of how to do things. Everything is around, and as you could read through all of these things, everything mentioned storyteller, every single one.
Well, that's what the theme was this time around. Did you not realize that?
No.
Yeah, this was a storytelling theme.
Well, I completely missed that. I don't even know.
They didn't exactly... like pump it up that way. Like I'm part of Blog Her, and you don't even see Blog Her without seeing experts among us.
Oh.
Like, this time is a storytelling theme. I mean, maybe it's subconscious, but it's obviously a theme that they went for. And I mean, if you are going to do that consciously, then you should just market it as such, I think. But yeah, it's very much storytelling theme. I read it somewhere even.
Well,
so good that you picked up on
it. Good that I picked up on it. Yeah, but everything. Well, see, the thing is with the radio stuff, it's all about that same thing. And that's what they do well. That's what the radio people do well. They do the storytelling stuff. But like, you know, if you get something like a really, really successful podcast in the indie space, like Gamertag Radio, you don't think... Like, when I think about Gamertag Radio, I don't think a storytelling podcast. They don't storytell. I mean, they tell stories about their games. I mean, everybody tells a story at some point, but it's not, it's really a lot more than that. It's really largely focused on community engagement and news and information and analysis. mm-hmm. right? That's not storytelling, but no. that's really the majority of what the indie podcasts are. The majority of them are like that. And if I try to then change any podcaster like the ones that we have right now, our clients, and say like, you know what, you really need to start to tell more stories. When maybe the core of their podcast isn't storytelling.
I just feel like if I was brand new to podcasting, this would be, I would be overjoyed at this event. It would cover everything. But because we're newer, or older, I mean, what do you want to learn? How to market better? I mean, the system, I mean, John and Kate did a systems workshop. Yeah. That probably would have been helpful for us. Like,
yeah,
how
I
to
think
implement
that, you know what? I heard
more
really,
systems.
I heard wonderful things about that. I think that stuff like that, where you really start to get to the nitty gritty of how, because
it's
a lot of
double session, but yeah. I think we could probably use more of that too. Sorry, yeah. I interrupted you.
No,
sorry.
No. But you're right. I think that it would have been fantastic to do more workflows, things that will support,
yeah.
instead of thinking like how to podcast and how, like, what if you already have your baby? Like, it's everything's like, you already have everything that you need to be incredibly successful, but you are missing little bits and pieces that are outside. And this is the key. They're outside of the podcasting space. They have more yeah. to do with marketing, setting up systems, just like you were talking about, you know, productivity,
that'd be great.
Outsourcing, like,
you know,
that yeah. kind of stuff.
You know what I learned both? Okay. I had 3 clients with you. I had about 5 clients outside of working with you this past week. And I never had that many clients bunched up in a row before. So I really started to see a pattern in what they're struggling with. And I will tell you guys listening, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the number one thing, you don't even know you have it wrong, which is why you're not even going to be able to tell me. The number one thing that every single client has missing is the marketing. The first thing I do is go on their website. If there's no opt-in, then I listen to their show. There's no call to action in the intro, no call to action in the outro. Almost every single time. Sometimes there is, but the call to action is too long or too short,
right.
or doesn't help them achieve whatever goal they're trying to yep. achieve, which is grow their email list. That's great. Why are you having them follow you on your Facebook page? It makes no sense. Tell them to sign up for your this or that, or, you know, or start doing a Facebook ad for your this or that, or find a way to promote the this or that, you know, like the marketing is almost always missing. And so it's kind of nice that I have a marketing background and I can like point that shit out. But what I'm saying is, like, those are the pieces, like, they don't need to know how to be confident behind them. I mean, they do.
But that's beginner.
New.
That's beginner.
Right.
Well, see, that's the beginner
but
aspect of
those of us
it.
Who already grew a right. set right. of ovaries now need to figure out, like, how do I get more people to pay attention
exactly.
to this? And the answer is not, if you have a half-hour show, change it to 15 minutes and do 2 shows a week. That's a stupid answer.
Right. It is.
The answer is to start promoting the stuff that you're doing, having generic content, putting stuff in a queue that rotates, growing your Twitter list using like a automation thing like Manage Flitter or something else. I mean, you want everything to grow organically, yes, but, you know, not if you're in a hurry because you need to make money. That's when you decide, okay, I'm going to follow all the women podcasters that have tweeted in the last 30 days. Yeah, that would grow our audience, right, Elsie? I mean, like, if they don't follow us back, you cut them and start over. I mean, you probably are cringing right now in your seat because it's so unorganic. But, you know, if that's the audience that we want, go after them. Go after the people that you want and do it quickly.
Right.
Otherwise, it just takes forever. We've been podcasting for 2 years. Our Twitter's like 900. That's ridiculous. That's organic. That's why we make money on other things besides Twitter.
Well, because it's true. It takes time to do stuff like that. And that's why I was thinking, like, you also, and then the other thing is that you have to go specifically to where your audience is. You cannot, and I understand that we're in a digital world, but see, when I work with clients, I start to think about, like, what is going to make you that one, what's going to get you like a core, like 10 to 20 new listeners that are going to be your advocates from now on.
Yeah.
The ones that cannot shut up about you, because those are the ones that are going to grow your audience. Those are the ones that are going to do it. And usually they're the ones that are right next door.
Oh my God. What about that guy, Elsie, who came up to our Q&A and was like, I'm partnered with these brilliant large companies to run their community and their Facebook page. But, like, he goes, but I hate
oh my God,
Facebook.
Yeah.
What do I do? And I basically was like, you suck it up is what you do. Get comfortable with Facebook and swallow it down and never bring it up again.
Do it.
And that's that. You're supposed to be running their community. What do you want? Ning? You want Slack? You want something else? Everyone's on Facebook. They're already on Facebook. You just have to deal. I'm sorry.
Yep.
My apologies.
He did come afterwards to talk with me more.
Yeah, me too. Know?
And I was like, and because I think he really was interested. And I was like, dude, you're going to have to find somebody. How do you find them? You got to engage.
Yep.
You have to engage. You have to see your community members. You have to, you know, you got to feel their vibe.
Oh, and you know why he came to talk to you? Because he talked to me first, and I said, go find Elsie. She found a way to turn off the news feed and just go in there for the groups and interact with the groups. That's why she's got 6,800 comments and posts, and the rest of us only have like 3,000.
That's right.
Because she turned off the feed. If I could turn off my feed, I'd be a lot more productive in there, too. Right. And so he was like, oh, that's a good idea. And that's probably why.
He did. He came in and he asked me that. And I was like, I was just showing him about how I network through there. But yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we are running a little bit long here. So
sorry.
But you know what, guys? We have a Patreon page that we're going to, thanks to John Buchanan, our wonderful, wonderful producer, who is like,
what did he do? I fucking designed
it. No. I'm telling them that he gave me this idea.
I'm kidding. I'm joking.
He didn't put the Patreon
page. I'm joking. I love John.
So anyway, I was loving on John.
Keep going. He's fantastical.
So anyway, he gave me this idea because right before we started recording.
Hi, John.
So while we were recording, before we were recording, we were talking and we went off on some of the Audible stuff and we kind of went behind the scenes and I was like, what should we do with this? And he goes, why don't you put it in as like bonus content for our Patreon page? And I think that's what we're going to start to do. So we're going to start to grab like all of the pre-show stuff and all of the things that don't make it into the show, which may or may not be related to podcasting conversation. Sometimes it's just going to purely be random behind the scenes stuff that is going to be part of the Patreon page. And you will get that for as little as $1 a month. So there will be a link.
Make that part $5 a month. All right. Okay. $1 a month.
Whatever. Dude, come on.
All right.
Still. $1
Sign
a month.
Up.
We keep doing that. Sign up. We'll put the link in the show notes. Patreon. I don't even know what it is. Patreon.com/youpodcast, I would assume. But if it's not that, just click the link in the show notes and you will go there. So, and if you have any feedback like we've got, please email, feedback@shepodcast.com.
Yes.
feedback@shepodcast.com. Or speakpipe.com/shepodcast so we can get wonderful audio from you like Jessica Rhodes did from Interview Connections because she did such a lovely job and her voice sounded so fantastic.
Always.
So we cannot wait to hear from you guys. And
talk to you soon. Talk to you in a week.
Bye.
Love you. Mean it.
We gotta go.
John's rushing us off stage.
I know. What is up?
Bye.
Bye.